You'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to also read from 1 Samuel chapter 18. And tonight we're going to continue the seven deadly sins, and tonight we're going to talk about envy. Amen. This is taken from Brother David Reynolds. And we want to just help you to draw closer to the Lord, be what God wants us to be. Amen. Understand, folks, that failure to confess, failure to forsake the attitude of envy will destroy you. Okay? Failure to confess or failure to forsake the attitude of envy will destroy you. Envy is probably the most deadly sin of all. Amen? 1 Peter, we're going to read chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to read verse 5 through 9. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from slaughter of the Philistines, and that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing and meeting King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. You see, we often think of envy and jealousy as synonymous terms, and basically, folks, they are, but there are a slight distinctions. Jealousy in Scripture can sometimes be a good quality. God is jealous, a jealous God, because as the only true God, He longs for personal relationship with every human being. And for that very reason, God cannot tolerate situations where anyone makes someone or something other than Him the Lord of their life. So, but in a marital relationship between husband and wife, we promise that we will forsake all others and keep each other only to ourselves as long as we both shall live. So when a husband or wife are jealous to keep this monogamous relationship between each other, that is a good jealousy, and in the good sense of the word. You see, the Greek word zealous is an ancestor to our English word zeal, and zealous, and zealous. It means either jealous or envy in the New Testament. When this term is used in the New Testament, it is the choice of the translators whether to use the word jealous or envy in the English. And therefore, different translations use different terms. But once again, the word zealous is referring to jealousy and can convey either good or bad connotations, depending on the context of the passage. But zealous is not the basic Greek term Scripture used for the concept of envy. And that Greek word never conveys a positive image in Scripture and is never translated as jealousy in English. So when I envy someone, I harbor an attitude or ill will or bitterness against them because of their possessions, status, or popularity, or their success, or their achievements, or their advantages, or their accomplishments for which I long as well. See, such an attitude, whether we call it envy or whether we call it jealousy, folks, it is sin in God's eyes and is always condemned in Scripture. Envy reflects a spirit of competition between rivals. The spirit of envy is seen as the original sibling rivalry in human history. And what it did, folks, is it led to Cain to murder his brother Abel. Envy came between Jacob's two wives, the sisters Rachel and Leah. In Genesis 30, verse 1, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel, listen to this, envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. After David killed Goliath, Saul's love, his appreciation and respect for David turned to bitterness and envy. As you read in 1 Samuel 18, 8 through 9, and Saul was very wroth and saying, the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. You see, it was a spiritual envy that led the chief priests, folks, to turn Jesus over to Pilate to be executed on the cross. In Matthew 27, verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. The spirit of envy or the spirit of jealousy on the part of religious leaders was a motivating factor in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You see, one might be termed as spiritual envy, and maybe the other as no greater or no more dangerous from the envy than this. A person by the name of Dr. Maxie Dunham said, and Reverend Kimberly Dunham Reason say this in their devotional book, we are created by God for God. Everything in life should revolve around God. Life will not work wholesomely in any other way. Sin, in all its forms, in one way or another, demands that everything, including God, revolve around me. You see, folks, envy revolves around me. And it is a battle cry becomes, and its battle cry, envy's battle cry becomes, what's yours should be mine. Failure to confess, failure to forsake the attitude of envy will destroy you. You see, it may not result in our immediate physical death, but it leads in the end to a spiritual eternal death apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible explicitly clear in Galatians 5, 18 through 21, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustfulness, pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, clownings, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, those who are jealous, those who are envious, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. It's a double whammy, isn't it? You see, as Christians, we should conquer envy. We should conquer jealousy because we live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit and are led by the Spirit. Amen? In Galatians 5, 24 and 26, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with us, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When we are led by the Spirit, folks, when we live by the Spirit, and we keep in step with the Spirit, God, what He does is He enables us to be humble. He enables us not to be conceited. He keeps us from provoking and envying each other. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. You ever heard anybody, oh, I wish I had something like that. Oh, I wish I had a job like that. Or I wish I could live like that. I wish I had a husband like that. I wish I had a wife like that. Envy is like bone cancer that rots our skeletal sculpture untreated, will lead to our demise, will lead to our death. Envy is perhaps the most deadly sin of all because it seeks to destroy individual disciples and the local church. See, when you are envious, you're saying, God, how you made me, it's not good enough. I should have been like that person. Right? Paul feared it was jeopardizing the church at Corinth when he says in 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as I want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Put it to him, wasn't he? You see, these sister voices, envy and jealousy, together in the local church, where you find quarreling in a local church, jealousy and envy are not far behind. Amen? So often envy leads to quarreling within the church, where there is quarreling, where there is jealousy in the body of believers, you also quickly discern the person's spirit of anger, the person's spirit of selfishness, the person's spirit of slander and gossip and conceit as well. All these demonic powers quickly lead to chaos. They lead to disorder. So left to run their course without humility and repentance, but these forces have produced spirits in many congregations and permanently closed many church doors. Amen. Well, the pastor treats them so much better, or this is, they get this special take. They just, I mean, whatever it may be. See, the spirit of envy has no place among the people of God. None. Either as an individual disciple of Jesus Christ or collectively as his church. So we say, well, what's the solution, Pastor? How can we conquer the deadly sin of envy? Peter was one to know from personal experience. Anybody ever thought of Peter as envious? Nobody? He constantly was envious of other disciples, especially John. The disciple, John the disciple, who Jesus loved, the Bible talks about, and allowed Jesus, but with the power of the Holy Ghost, folks, Peter stopped comparing himself to others. And he began to allow Jesus to use the unique person of Peter in his ministry. Let me tell you something tonight. You need to be like Peter. You see, Peter was envious of John and different ones, and he said, what about them? And the Lord said, well, what's it to you? What's it to you if I let him live? What's it to you if he's not giving his life? See, he learned to allow the Lord to use him in his unique ministry. And that's what we need to understand. We all have a unique ministry. We should not be so envious of others that we don't do anything is what we have, what God has given us. Amen? God wants to use you in your uniqueness. Peter is a great person to give us the key to victory over envy. And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit. Be done with hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. So we got to get rid of some stuff in us. Amen? If we want to grow past this area of enviness. Jesus calls his disciples and he calls the church to get rid of the deadly sin of envy, to renounce it, to give it up to Jesus. Give it to him. Amen? Give it to him at the altar where there's a place of sacrifice. Amen? Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. We get rid of our envy. We throw it away. How do we do it? By surrendering it to Jesus and asking him, Lord, forgive me of this. Lord, forgive me for not thinking that I'm good enough, that you didn't create me good enough, that you didn't bless me with this when I think I should have had it. Forgive me for that, Lord. Thank you for blessing my brother. Thank you for blessing my sister. That's what you need to start doing, is thanking God for blessing them. See, when you start thanking God for blessing him, he'll bless you. You know, that's one of the best things to do when somebody is doesn't like you or they're treating you bad. Pray for God to bless them. I'm serious. If you want to be blessed, pray for God to bless your enemies. So if you want God to bless your life and you want to learn to be thankful, ask God to bless those that have this or have that, that you think is nice. See, you can't ask God to bless you with something when you're envious. Amen? So we get rid of our envy. God, forgive me. So when we take it to the altar and ask God, Lord, forgive me for this, and deliver to God, get victory over that poison envy. In doing that, we stand on the promises of James 4:6 that says, and he gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen? When we give our envy to Jesus and we depend on him to forgive us, the Spirit, his Holy Spirit, gives us victory, both as individual disciples and as a church. Amen? You see, folks, that envious spirit can grow like wildfire. Amen. We have to be careful that God can bless you for what you are, for who you are. Amen? Amen. I when I hear of another pastor having revival, I'm like, praise the Lord. Thank God. I'm not going to be envious of them. Well, God, why are you giving them revival and not me? No way. I get my turn. You know, there's a harvest. You don't have five harvests a year. You have one. Amen? It comes around. So I want God to bless you. And when I hear of God blessing people in jobs, I'm like, thank you, Lord. God blesses people with homes and cars and all. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm glad. Hallelujah. That's, you know, one of the things that drives me to want to see souls saved and see and pastor a church and things is because I want God to bless like he blesses me. Amen. I feel blessed. Amen. If God can do it to me, he can do it for anybody else. Why do we want to sit around and say, why do they get this? Why do they get that? Why do they get this position? Hey, work hard. Come on. Work hard. Show God, hey, you can use me. I'm a hard worker. Amen? But you know what I've found out? That there's a lot of things out here in the world people wish they had this and had that, but they don't want to work to get there. They're lazy. They just want to be given stuff. No, you don't get anywhere without hard work. Even in the kingdom of God, it doesn't just happen. God blesses those that work hard. God blesses those that appreciate what he does for not only them, but for others. So we need to understand, if you want God to bless you, work hard in God's kingdom. Amen. Let's stand. Again, thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Coming and adding to your ministry and blessing your ministry. And these are the kind of things, folks, that God notices. Amen. That he'll bless you and help you by being faithful to the things of God, saying, God, you know, like that little bird when the mother comes, feed me, God. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We ask God to just bless each one here tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the name of Jesus.